The William Hill Sports Show is owned and produced by William Hill. All opinions expressed by the host or guests are their own and are not endorsed by either radio station KUUB management or any of its advertisers. This is KUUB-FM Sun Valley, Reno.
It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Welcome, sports fans, to this week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show, coming to you live from the Club Cal Neva. I'm Kenny B., your host, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline.
Ken, how are you?
Good, Josh. How are you?
Hanging in there.
You excited about all these conference basketball tournaments getting ready to tip off? Yeah. Actually, some of the Big Ten's already tipped off. Well, a few have tipped off.
Exactly. So I was watching them before I came in here. Yeah, it's cool. John and I were just talking about it. It's cool to have a major conference on the early schedule because, hey, last 2 days we've been watching a Big Ten game every, you know, they've had four games a day. And it's nice. Nothing against the smaller conferences, but there are teams that you know less and, you know, you start seeing
Wisconsin held me the last couple of days.
Yeah, they covered twice in a row, almost knocked off Michigan State today. Every game's been an underdog game in the Big Ten so far, except the last one. Michigan clipped Nebraska, but it looks like Penn State's leading Ohio State again. But it's just a fun conference, I think. You know, it's physical, old school. They're playing at Madison Square Garden. So to me, that's just a fun kickoff because, you know, everything, all the big boys are playing next week, but just really getting your March Madness juices flowing.
Absolutely. And John the Hawk Stevens across from me. What's going on, John?
Sir. Just talking about the Big Ten, I hate Big Ten football, and I love Big Ten basketball. It's funny how that works, but it is awesome to have a little early. And Mountain West tournament is going to be early next year because Thomas and Mack has something going on that following week. So it's going to be this weekend instead of next weekend next year.
All right. And Tommy Lane from Let's Get It On Promotion, son of Mills Lane.
What do you know?
What do you know? Uh-oh, we got to turn the mic on. We got to turn his mic on. He's got to turn his mic on.
Here I am. How
here
are you
he
guys
is. he's still rookies. He's
yeah.
still groggy from the big boxing card he put on over at the Grands here. What a fantastic, you know, great turnout, great card. Everything was fantastic, top rate, wonderful. I saw you sitting down there next to Bob Arum, which I was like going, man, I gotta come down there and tell Bob what's going on. But I refrained because I was up.
Bob told you what was going on.
I was up in the where was I at? I was
the balcony.
The balcony with your mom and like some of her friends and you know the family and stuff hanging out. It was fantastic. Had a great time. But man, I mean, I wish ESPN was involved, televised fight. I wish they could have had a different time slot. I think that the Friday 4 p.m. bell kind of hurt you a little bit. I think that if it could have been a 4 p.m. bell on a Saturday or Sunday,
well,
man, it would have even been huge.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. 4 p.m., that was one of our biggest concerns, 4 p.m. On the Friday. Because also, you know, we try and put on some regional guys from Sacramento or the Bay Area, and, you know, people getting off work and making that drive, they really have to take all of Friday off to be able to make it. So that was tough, and it was right before President's Day weekend. So we try to get ahead of that. We put the local Ricardo Galvan, Lucio Galvan on at last after the main event. Mm-hmm. So, it did start at 4, but really kind of started going at 6. But, yeah, that was an obstacle for sure.
I was really excited because I know that you guys had actually penciled in the main event to start at about 6, wasn't it?
About 7, the main event one.
Yeah, and so I we did the radio show that night, and I was able to get over there real quick, and I got to see 3 fights. You know, I got to see the main event go the distance.
Yeah, the good stuff.
Yeah, I had the underdog at 15-1, and a lot of people thought that he was going to get taken out early. I know a couple of the people that you were with thought that he'd be getting taken out early, but he fought really well. I got my money's worth, you know, because I had him at 15-1, and I got to get to the judge's scorecard. He wasn't beat up. I thought that he held his own, and he fought well.
It was a much closer fight than the odds had it. I thought even going into it, he was he came in about 7-8 days before, so I saw him in the gym several times, and I mean he was big for 135 pounds. He was really just had that long build, and those guys are really tough to be able to get inside on, and that's Beltran's game. I knew that was going to be a tough fight, and you know, Moses was a former world champion. He fought 12 rounds. He had like 16, 12-round fights before that. You know, I don't know how many Beltran had, but I'm sure he didn't have that many. I mean, that's a lot of experience. He's 45-2. I mean, he was a good pro. A lot of his fights were in South Africa, which the competition isn't that deep down there compared to the States and Mexico. But, I mean, he was a veteran for sure.
So, what was one of the fighters used to be Pacquiao's sparring partner?
Yeah, Beltran.
Beltran. See, I got that confused. I thought it was the other guy. So he's used to the Pac-Man punching him in the face.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You ever met Manny?
Just in passing. Not you know, didn't have share words with him or anything, but shook his hand a couple times.
Nice guy?
Yeah, very nice guy.
What about Floyd?
I've never met Floyd, but I actually did see him in a hotel in New York. It was right after one of his big pay-per-view fights, I think Victor Ortiz, and he was doing like the post-fight press tour.
Gotcha.
And he was just in the lobby sitting there. He didn't have any of his security guards around or anything, and I didn't really want to bother him, so you know, I waved and he waved back. But I mean, he I've heard that he's a nice guy. It's kind of, you know, his.
I heard when you
Money
get him,
Mayweather's.
Yeah, you get him away from the hot lights.
Yeah,
the,
that's his persona.
Look at me, the money man, the money team. Yeah.
Well, it's worked for him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's done a good job of crossing, you know, not just being arguably the best boxer of all time, and having a personality. You know, and actually being able to sell tickets, because I mean, you guys all weigh in. You either love Floyd Mayweather or you hate Floyd Mayweather. So what are you going to do?
It varies round to round for me sometimes.
You're going to buy a ticket to see him fight, or buy a ticket hoping to see that he gets his ass kicked.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I can at the same time root for him and want him to see his get his ass kicked, which happens every fight.
Yeah,
it's funny because I buy into his madness and. And I think he's a hell of a fighter, and he doesn't get enough credit, if that even makes sense. But I also want to see him get his at some point, which is not going to happen now.
I think he's going to take pillow fights from here on out. Josh, I know
he's been doing that for a while.
You're a huge boxing fan.
Yeah, you know, and I'm similarly kind of torn on Floyd. Like you said, John, there are times where I've just felt duped. We're like, yeah, I want my $70 back for ordering the pay-per-view. There are times when, again, when you look at his entire body of work, I'm not sure. There is, to me, something left to be desired, unlike someone – for instance, it's kind of funny, but his competing promoter now, like Oscar De La Hoya, we've talked about. One thing that you cannot mistake, if you look at his pedigree, he fought everyone, wasn't scared, even late in his career, stepping up to fight Bernard Hopkins, guys he shouldn't have been in the ring with, like just based on his weight and stuff. He never backed down from
the
challenge.
Well, he wants to fight McGregor now.
It doesn't matter that
he's got. I was going to get into that.
He's got multiple losses, but he didn't worry about undefeated being on his ledger or whatever. And he even stepped in with Floyd when he was a little bit past his prime. Got a split decision. And you know what? Every time I watch that fight, it looks closer than the previous time. Watching it live, I thought Floyd won it somewhat handily. But no, Oscar really pushed the pace, and he almost gave Floyd a defeat. And yet, when I go back in retrospect on Floyd, too, I do think the McGregor thing is just a farce, like in terms of his legacy. I think it does soil it a little bit. But I think some of his fights you don't appreciate until hindsight. For instance, Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah.
That looks more impressive. Now we know what Canelo's become. You look back, and Floyd just handled him like it was nothing. Marquez, I mean, Ricky Hatton. The guys you look back now and watch Floyd's fights, like, you know what? It was more entertaining than I first thought. And, you know, it is interesting knowing what the opponent has since become makes you appreciate him more. So I appreciate Floyd's, you know, overall resume, but I still think there were times where, you know, super – again, of course, the Pacquiao thing didn't happen until, you know, both guys were –
5 years
too late. We would have liked to see that with both in their prime. And there's a few other potential matchups. I mean, Floyd dodged out of there just as the welterweight division was getting good. Who would have loved to see him face either Keith Thurman or, you know, Amir Khan or someone like that? And he dodged out before any of those, you know, taking on one of the young guns and really prove your supremacy. He didn't do any of that. And yet, you know, the overall pedigree is still there.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you 100%. I think Floyd was the best at overhyping a fight. You got excited for it. You felt the big fights were coming. It just had that big fight feel. And then you watched most of them, and you were just, maybe because you wanted to see Floyd get dropped, or maybe because you wanted to see Floyd really turn it on.
Yeah. It's kind of history. I mean, if you see him lose now, I mean, well, I guess when he was in his, you know, low 40s, 42 wins, 43 wins, I mean, you're seeing history if he doesn't make it to the Marciano 50.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's history. Well, I don't know, because, I mean, you know, there was there's a tweet going around. There's a guy named not Gene Fulmer, but the Pittsburgh windmill. I'm drawing a blank on his name. He fought Tunney, but anyway, he went 50-0 in 1 year alone. You know, I mean, Floyd Mayweather. I mean, Julio Cesar Chavez was 80-0 before he got his first loss. So, I mean, if Floyd kept fighting, he would get a loss too.
I agree. That's crazy. 50-0 in a year. That's crazy. Yeah.
Harry Greb.
All right.
And it's funny how shocked everyone always is after a Floyd fight that he fights the way he does.
And you can't believe it.
He's the best defensive fighter I think we've ever seen, and he still packs. He doesn't have the same thunder that he once had, But everyone's so shocked and so bored. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
I wish he'd fight. You could have seen him and Sweet Pea Whitaker in his prime get after each other, because that would have been a good contrast of similar styles there.
Yeah. I mean, when he fought Zab Judah, I think that was as close to
Zab had him.
Yeah, that was that. I mean, Zab, but Zab has a history of kind of. I think he just he would let his mind kind of get in the way, and he almost
starts.
He kind of psychs himself out. I think he hit Floyd obviously intentionally, almost started a riot when I can't believe they resumed that
fight. By the way, there was an all-out riot in the ring, and like 10 minutes later, like, okay, we're gonna continue this.
Yeah.
Did your dad do that fight?
No, that was.
Is it the only crazy fight he missed?
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. The well, that and I guess Bo Galata, where they had that riot at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, Galata, I forgot about that one.
You know what's funny? I saw a video of that a while ago, and I had no idea. Like, I remember seeing it in real time. But just how ridiculously violent that was. With Jim Lampley, I remember I saw the replay of it, I think, on YouTube a while back, and he's commentating from, like, a protected balcony. Yeah, 30 minutes later, he goes, guys, this is just chaos here. You don't want to see it. Below him, you can just see, like, there's just nothing. People are just getting mauled down there. And he was thanking George Foreman profusely because he was still commentating down there. He's like, yeah, when
I remember when you don't want to do that,
son. He goes, when all hell broke loose, like, yeah, he literally protected us from getting maimed. He's like, we got out of there. But I remember Lampley saying, this is the most bizarre, bloodiest thing I've ever seen. At 30 minutes after the fight ended, you could see behind him, and there was just nothing. It appeared like no law enforcement presence, and everyone who was still remaining in the arena appeared to be involved in some sort of mayhem.
Wow.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen break out at a fight with Bo Galata.
The police commissioner, I saw a documentary that Legendary Nights HBO did about
right.
And the police commissioner was interviewed, and he was watching the fight on TV, and I guess they didn't have police at the fights back then, but you know, he saw it happening and called whoever he called and you know, sent the police in just because he was watching it. But I mean, that was that's an entertaining YouTube
no kidding
video.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the Conor McGregor and the Floyd Mayweather fight, and maybe what's, you know, the two fights that are either one of them going to box again. But your thoughts real quick on that fight. Did Floyd carry him, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think he probably could have had him out of there at any point.
Why?
But just because, I mean, he was just, if you just look back at it, he was just sitting there, and I don't even think really even throwing punches in the beginning, and just kind of, I think he was just giving the people who paid, I think, what was it, $100 for the pay-per-view, their money's worth, and, you know, carried him. But, yeah, I think he could have had him out of there at any point.
All right. Do you think that we'll ever see Floyd Mayweather fight again?
I
mean, there's these rumors. History would say yes. Who?
You know, I don't know. I think that Floyd being undefeated is probably the most important thing to him, and he has made so much money. I mean, he would basically have to be out of money, and it could be some sort of – I mean, maybe a second Pacquiao fight, maybe. I mean,
we'll see how March Madness goes for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I mean, so there's no chance to say that he's going to get the winner of Alvarez and Golovkin.
No.
He ain't that stupid.
Oh, but how much would that pay?
Oh God, I would.
How much would that pay?
And
is your legacy really worth $1 billion? I think that
would improve his legacy, win or lose,
to take that fight.
You get tired of hearing that he's been ducking people, and he'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm 50-0, and I'm still going to fight this guy." I think his legacy just improves.
Oh man,
and you can just have a blank check for him.
Yeah, I mean, it would be – I just don't
Tommy,
see –
Tommy, get it done.
I don't know if the
revenue – You are a boxing promoter, Tommy.
And I would say this. I don't know if the revenue is there for that. I mean, I don't think that would have more pay-per-views than him fighting Conor McGregor.
You're probably right.
So he's not going to get paid more than that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, I guess, I mean, he would still get paid a lot and get the lion's share.
I guess the only person – the people really buying that, you know, the winner of the Alvarez-Golovkin fight – versus Mayweather to be the pure boxing fans.
Yeah.
At least you have the crossover with the MMA.
Yeah.
You know, with the Mayweather McGregor fight, which, you know, like I said, we watched it, and I'd watch it again, guys. I would. Is McGregor?
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining. And Josh, you had mentioned that De La Hoya is kind of, you know, he kind of clowned this whole fight, and then saw how much money they were making, and then all of a sudden he's saying, "Hey, Conor, you want to go? I'll go too."
Yeah.
You know, so he kind of, it's kind of like, well, I'm not going to use that analogy because it's too close to home, but. It's like, hey, I'll get paid too. Is that fight ever going to happen? Will we ever see Conor fight box again? That's my question.
You know, it's hard to say, Ken, because the timing with everything with Mayweather just fell into place so perfectly. Just both the novelty and sort of the villain slash hero, it's a mythical type script that was written behind both those guys. And it was more entertaining than it necessarily needed to be. I agree that I think Floyd carried him a bit, but I can't imagine there being public interest in a rematch. As we all know, Floyd could have handled him. McGregor was reasonably competitive. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I need to see Floyd Mayweather or Conor McGregor in another sort of novelty circus show fight ever again. This crossover thing. Now, you're right. I mean, Ken, I think there could be a market for it. I mean, the one guy who was sparring, there's all the controversy, Paulie Malignaggi.
No, that
could be a reasonably competitive fight. But he doesn't have the name brand, of course, like Oscar De La Hoya, who had actually rumored his own comeback many times. So that's not out of the blue thing.
I've been saying this since the fight's over. Pacquiao.
Pacquiao would knock McGregor out.
Well, but you get the pure boxes. You get the Filipino followers who are huge boxing. I mean, that guy is God. He is God.
Yeah.
And then you get the UFC guys, and you're going to get the comparison that, Mayweather beat Pacquiao, and so this fight will be closer. But I'm with you.
So that'll set up Pacquiao Mayweather because he beat him quicker?
Yeah.
But
those are the selling points you look for.
Okay, please, tell me, what's your draw to see McGregor box? So I'd rather see him in an MMA title match.
Tommy, once again, you are a boxing promoter. Money. I want to see McGregor Pacquiao. That's what I want to see.
Why?
Get off your hands, Tommy. Come on.
Josh.
Why do you want to see McGregor box?
Listen, I keep watching.
I thought he did well.
I keep watching Thunder Lips fight Rocky Balboa. Yeah. So, of course, I'm going to pay for this.
All right.
He was overmatched.
Who? Rocky?
Rocky.
Of course. Thunder Lips
threw
him
into the third row.
And everybody knows Mayweather knocked out
Big Show.
Yeah, it's a good fight.
So anyways, I don't know, Josh. I just like the novelty. It's entertainment. I mean, it's just, why not watch it, Josh?
You wouldn't watch Pacquiao versus?
No, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Said it was fine. I mean, there was a certain novelty appeal to it.
You wouldn't watch it. You would not be entertained. Are you not entertained?
Like I said, more so than I anticipated with the Mayweather thing. I think McGregor needs to get back there. There's champions in the UFC.
He's still a title holder.
Chomping at the bit. Right. And believe me, with the guys in his own division, the two that he has the titles for, I'd be much more entertained by that than.
Why? If he makes 10 times more boxing one of these guys.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's not going to get
as hurt. But that's going to wear off. How many more guys can he fight? You still want to see him.
All he needs is one more fight. He's going to have a.
Yeah, well, that's what Floyd's doing as well.
The
reason he fought McGregor, this is great. Just as big a paycheck with no risk. That's why he wants to do it again. You know Floyd's not going to get in the cage with Conor in a limited MMA type of format. Even if it was just, jiu-jitsu, Conor can't kick him or choke. That is not going to take place.
I agree with that. Yeah. But would you pay to see it?
Yeah, I think the next thing you'll do is have
No, but I'd come to Caldeva and watch it.
Thank you, John. Thank you. So fantastic.
I think I'd rather see him fight De La Hoya than Manny, though.
No chance.
Yeah, I would, just because
everybody hold your thoughts. We're up against the commercial. We come back, and we're going to have this. Who's Conor McGregor? who are we going to watch Conor Thunderlips McGregor fight next?
So Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. There you go. All right, we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Calneva.
Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens, Tommy Lane from Let's Get It On Promotions, and I'm your host, Kenny. We're talking about, Let's Get It On. I know that your father trademarked that, and I still hate when people use it. It pisses me off.
Yeah.
You just used it, Ken.
Mills don't care if I use it.
Yeah, you have lifetime permission.
That's true. See, there you go, John.
Yes.
So, talking a little bit, we've been just like chewing the fat over boxing and MMA and and I agree with you guys. We talked, about McGregor and Pacquiao. I think that would be the biggest gate draw between a UFC fight. Brock Lesnar's thinking about coming back again, John. Did you hear about that?
Well, Dana said he will be back.
And Brock said that his comment was, I'm not using the UFC. His contract expires in the spring with the WWE.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not using this as leverage for my WWE contract.
So as WWE fans, the three times a year we see him, and he holds that strap for whatever it's for. He can go at this point, don't you think? And just go fight, go do. His heart's in the UFC. He's a freak. He's fun to watch. He's a draw. I think at this point, leave the scripted stuff behind and just go do that.
Go be a tough guy.
Go be a tough guy and let AJ Styles run the stuff around here.
you, Your dad was on a Raw one time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No,
did you go?
No, I didn't. But I got he brought back some autographs because was a big wrestling fan back in the day. And
not anymore?
I want to like it. I try to watch Raw, but I just get bored and I just change the channel.
That's the reason you record it, so you can fast forward through everything. You can get 3 hours in Raw in about 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
It takes me about a half hour to watch Raw.
Yeah, I'm good to go, baby. I'm good to go.
Their ratings are crazy. I mean, I know that they went through a slump. I think, what was it, about 5-10 years ago, but they've come back and they're doing really well.
And I just read that Fox is making a big run at them to have Raw on the network and then SmackDown on FS1, which would be a big thing for them.
Yeah,
so who knows?
That's huge.
And not only that, Big Daddy Vince is what he's bringing back the XFL.
I don't know if that's a good idea. But we know. And then you see the other side of it with Ronda Rousey signing and being a quote-unquote full-time wrestler there. And her lack of charisma on there it's just been driving me crazy. But
I hate the fact that she comes out as Roddy Piper's.
Well, that's
stuff.
He got his blessing, and
I still
she looked
it.
Up to him and all that stuff. I don't know if that's a work or not, but it's, I don't know.
Is she going to fight Triple H?
I think him and it's going to be her and Kurt Angle against Triple H and Steph at WrestleMania.
Wow, that's crazy. Anyways, WrestleMania. Yeah. We could spend a whole week talking about
people driving through the snow. They don't need to hear this.
So how does that work? Is that like a tag team match, or can like Triple H get tagged in and be fighting?
I think
Ronda put Triple H through a table the other night.
Yeah,
was real. And it was Josh, listen,
Josh is disgusting.
Listen, I watch wrestling, and I know when it's fake. This was real.
All right.
just like when Floyd knocked out the Big Show, 100% weird.
Well, he broke his nose. Legitimately broke his nose.
Did he really?
Yeah.
So he didn't know how to pull the punch?
No, remember he got down on his knees and he punched him.
Oh, that's true.
And he got so pissed because this dude actually just broke my nose.
Yeah. Well, so. I know the anger streak that the Big Show has. I've experienced it firsthand.
Oh, God,
so,
yeah.
With that being said, you know. Anyways, back to boxing. So.
Going to tell that story with no censorship.
Yeah, that's true. Bess. Anyways, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, Golovkin, you know, right now at Triple G's minus 160. Total rounds is 11.5. You know, this fight doesn't go off until May 5th. But real quick, Tommy, what are your thoughts on that fight?
I haven't given it much thought, but all of the boxing people that I hear talking about it or being interviewed are all saying that they think Alvarez is going to have a much easier time with this and is basically
really?
Going to outbox him and is like, you know, and he's a dog on here. And I, you know, everyone thought that Golovkin really maybe deserved the decision against Alvarez in the first fight. A lot of people think that, but you know, I don't know. If this is a situation where Alvarez is just the kind of the more complete fighter and he was able to see enough last fight and is going to be able to come in and just, you know, he'll know he'll have his game plan. But I definitely think it'll go the distance. I mean, both guys can really take a big punch, and they proved that last fight. And I don't know. It's a really close fight anytime those guys fight, though.
Big Cinco de Mayo card, Josh. I like, you know, you're the big boxing follower too. But you know, Tommy just said that he likes the under. It's 11.5 is the rounds, but the under's minus 155.
Yeah, Ken, and it was shaded that way last time too. I remember nobody really thought it would go over, but I had a sense. You know, I was obviously disappointed because I had Triple G. But I like the over only since I knew both guys had really tough chins. I mean, Golovkin is just seemingly indestructible, but it's pretty rare that you've seen, you know, Canelo hurt either. And both of them, you know, even though there was widespread predictions of a knockout, I didn't see, you know, by whom. I actually thought they would probably slug it out for 12 rounds. The thing is about Golovkin is, you know, he's in his mid-30s. Of course, by the time this goes off, it'll be like, you know, it just, you start to age quickly. I mean, I think at middleweight, he's going to lose some of his, you know, speed and endurance. That's going to favor the younger guy, Canelo. Having said that, I just wonder, with the sentiment that Golovkin might have been on the short end of that draw, you know, do you have judges who, again, suddenly have a predisposed idea of giving him the benefit of the doubt? You know, I'm not sure, but I worry a little bit. I mean, I just wish the outcome had been correct the first time. But, yeah, I mean, the idea that a lot of people, Ken, as you mentioned, are sort of supporting Alvarez, it makes sense that the first fight was close. And, you know, even though they're both getting older, so to speak, Canelo's the one who's still in his mid-20s. I mean, that makes a big difference.
Where is the fight taking place?
No, this thing T-Mobile.
Says, right.
Oh, okay. It still says TBA, so it's no home court advantage for anybody.
Home court. Well, I like that.
You know, I guess Alvarez, you would maybe lean towards him being a little bit more of the A side. I think Golden Boy is the lead promoter in it. And, you know, on Cinco de Mayo, you know, the Mexican usually gets the close rounds. I mean, it's just that's the way the cookie crumbles.
That's how it rolls.
What do you think about the judging, Tommy? There's been a lot of high-profile, you know, bouts and whatnot and some controversy, but this being the most recent one that sticks in the public's mind, you know, a lot of people had it a close fight, but the biggest takeaway that most people had was the Adelaide Bird card, right, that she had 10 rounds to two. It's like one thing. You know, it was an awfully close fight, 7-5. I wouldn't even see either way because I thought it was a clear 7-5 for Golovkin, maybe – you know, 8-4, but even a draw I could sort of, you know, buy into. Again, so 7-5 Canelo, I'm not even buying. But if you like his style, so be it. But 10-2 for either guy, by the way, I don't think you'd go 10-2 Golovkin would be a farce also. But when you see that actual card and people look into, you know, that specific individual's history, and people saying, you know, what she did otherwise wrecked this beautiful fight and it drives fans away, like, what can you do to, you know, mitigate that factor? And from what I hear, you know, doesn't even necessarily affect, you know, the judge's ability to do future fights. So what do you do to, you know, basically clean up this kind of thing?
Well, I think, you need a whole – I mean, it's what should be kind of a beautiful thing about boxing is that the judges are right there and there's three of them, so you know who they are and it's out the open, you know, and they should be held more accountable for those awful decisions and the Adelaide Birds for that 10-2 for Alvarez was just not nonsensical. But, you know, it comes back down to the athletic commission. You know, they're the ones who choose the judges. And, you know, we have to work with them. But, I mean, all I can say is that we had a show in November, so it was just 2 months after that fight in Reno. And Adelaide Bird was one of the judges. So,
And the 10-2.
Was that the foul? That wasn't a foul on fight.
No, that was in the convention.
Oh, that's right.
The 10-2 is so egregious. I think that if you were on the take, you're going to make it look a little better than that. I think that shows incompetence more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Valid.
They should have be much more. I don't know if it's a thing where it's much harder to really get good, competent judges. So when they have something that is good, but like you said, something like that indicates incompetency. So, you know, I would like to see judges who are consistent. This isn't the first bad night she's had. I mean, judges who consistently are bad, either they're downgraded to, you know, judging 4-6 round fights until they, you know, prove themselves and
until they get it right.
Yeah, you know. But
by the way, did you see that wild press conference afterward where the reporters and a bunch of other people were grilling the athletic commission about her?
Bennett,
right? Yeah, that was a crazy press conference where some of the reporters were like, wait, what do you plan to do to address it? He goes, well, we'll sit and review the fight. Well, we'll see what happens. Or is there going to be any specific discipline? Well, you know, she actually has a good reputation. It was just kind of funny, though, how contentious it got.
Yeah.
Where he was giving these real, you know, kind of softball answers to, you know, pretty pressing questions in the wake of what just happened.
And so, Josh, did they ever give an opinion after they reviewed the fight, or was it just
right?
Went away.
He was pretty vague about it, and like you mentioned, Tommy, they said, "Hey, this isn't her first time where she's had the most bizarre card." You know, she's just literally notorious. If you check on Twitter before the fight, there's even a few people who called it. They said, "Look out, Adelaide Bird's on this card." You know, for judging something, you know, wanky's going to happen, and it did. And it's just bizarre. Like, and they never said, you would think this would be easy at least to legislate, like you mentioned, in terms of when you have a really bad one, why don't they have the top supervisors, the people who assign the judges, we're going to sit with you, rewatch it on the big screen for 12 rounds, and just tell us what you're seeing here. How did you come about that? And just see if their thinking makes rational sense. And if it doesn't, and no matter what she said after that, like, okay, nice try, but you're banned for 3 years. I mean, you can't not do that and not have punishment.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy. The judges have three different viewpoints, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you couldn't theoretically review a fight from what you see on TV because of the angles. You would have to review the fight with a camera behind the judge or next to the judge, so you're getting the same view as the judge and that angle.
Theoretically, but you know, even when you review a fight, you can see even, you know, when there's a land punch, when a punch lands, and judges can, you know, miss a shot here and there. But overall, yeah, they have different angles, but they should basically come up very close. You know, it's some judges prefer when, you know, you have a situation where some judges prefer a big puncher and some judges prefer the pure boxer.
Side, yeah.
And, you know, that's then that's where, you know, the judging becomes
the counter puncher versus subjective, the aggressive guy.
And, yeah. And you can't, you know, you, how do you argue? It's like splitting hairs. So, you know, that's more for a conversation, but when there's just, you know, a bad decision. But, you know, like you said, it comes back down and it falls right back down onto Bob Bennett, the athletic director or the executive director with the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and I am no fan of his.
So it's not like jury selection for a murder case. It's appointed. The judges are appointed.
Yeah, and I mean, when there's sanctioning bodies are involved, so if the WBC, they have WBC judges, so and most of the officials get registered with each sanctioning body anyway, so all of them are basically covered by every sanctioning body too.
All right, let's there's a card tomorrow too. We got Wilder versus Ortiz, and I think that it looks like Deontay Wilder is -360. The total number, the total rounds is 9.5, and what are your thoughts on that? Did I hear you correctly earlier? I stepped out for a second and came back. Do you think that's going to go under the 9.5 rounds?
I think so. I mean, you know, Wilder's a big puncher, and he's you know, kind of a crazy style. It's fun to watch, but, you know, he really wings them. But, you know, I've heard that Ortiz might have a bad hand going into this. Both guys can punch. I think that's the more likely, you know, scenario is going on.
Ortiz weighed in at 241 and Wilder weighed in at 214.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a little bit of a discrepancy. Both undefeated.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
yeah,
you know, Ortiz coming off a little drug issue after – is he suspended twice?
He was suspended, but I think they legitimately – prove that it was a false positive.
Okay.
It was something to do. I don't know that. I'm not 100% on that, but I think that he was cleared of, you know, using steroids. And I saw that Wilder weighed 214, and I was very surprised about that. You know, that's 214 for a heavyweight in this era. You know, you have, I think, you know, Joshua's what, 260? That's where a lot of people think that there should be a super heavyweight division and a heavyweight division. But, and if that was the case, Wilder would just, you know, be a heavyweight. I mean, he's almost closer to being a cruiserweight than he is to fight, you know, than Ortiz's weight.
You mentioned Joshua. He's got a big fight. Well, he's a heavy favorite at the end of the month here. You know, it's my opinion. I'm sure you agree that boxing needs Joshua and Wilder to win and them match up for a unification belt, for something
in the heavyweight division.
For the heavyweight division, just boxing needs that.
Yeah.
And if there's that much of a discrepancy, almost 50 pounds in between two similar fighters, that's, I'd have a hard time wrapping my head around Wilder winning that fight.
Yeah, you know, Wilder can really punch, and I was at his last fight, and I mean, the guy was a late replacement. He replaced Ortiz, Bermaine's DuVernay, and he knocked him out quick. I mean, it was not a fight, but I mean, it was, you know, I mean, DuVernay is a big guy.
Yeah, and DuVernay had been on the couch for 3 years. It's worth noting, he used to be a viable heavyweight. Bermaine's DuVernay is the only guy to go the distance with Deontay Wilder, the only guy who hasn't been knocked out. There was a competitive fight 3 years ago on Showtime. Like, well, at least people kind of know his name. Let's throw him in there.
Yeah.
And it looked very, it wasn't a very appealing rematch.
Yeah. It was the selling point was it's the only guy that he had not knocked out.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he
knocked him out in the first round.
Right.
So he got his revenge. All right, let's head off for our next commercial break. Come back. We still got a lot of sports to talk about. This is the Windmill Sports Show coming live from Club Caniva on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Calneva.
All right, welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Tommy Lane. Tommy, how can people get a hold of you and find out what you guys have going real quick? I mean, I know Let's Get It On Boxing.
I think probably the best is our Facebook page, Let's Get It On Boxing, or Twitter, Let's Get It On Boxing, or Instagram. Those are what we keep, you know, the most active, or when we have something to, you know, tell the boxing fans about. That's where we kind of.
What do you guys have coming up next? Anything local or anything on the big stage?
Yeah, we're still building the show, but tentatively we're looking at May 4th, Friday, the day before Cinco de Mayo.
Quattro de Mayo
in Reno.
In Reno,
nailed it.
Yeah. At the same, possibly the same venue.
We think to be announced at the convention center.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Are you going to get the kid from Stockton to come up? Maybe.
Maybe.
Good.
Maybe.
I know he's got he can't talk about it right now.
Well, he's become very expensive.
Yeah. All right.
So.
Josh Nagel from Sportsline, how do they find your credentials? I know that they can follow you on Sportsline and Josh Nagel 1 on Twitter, and you got a lot of articles up right now, don't you?
You got it, Ken. That's pretty much it. You're right, this time of year especially. You mentioned it's crazy with March Madness, but I was telling John before the show, we're pretty much doing previews on just about every game, every tournament, so anyone's interested in my point of view on the basketball betting, it's all there.
All right, Sportsline. And John and I, you can follow us on Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. We really heavy on the pack.
Pornhub, right now. You can so see what we're watching on Pornhub.
All right. Tommy, you text me today and said, are you going? Let's talk about Wolfpack basketball. Yes, I'm going down for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. And, by the way, no show next week, guys, because of the Mountain West Conference Basketball Tournament. We're actually going to have no show next week, so everybody gets the week off. Good thing, because we'll be in Vegas. You're just the board guy.
I'll be in Vegas the following Friday, so I won't be here then.
The following weekend. So with that being said, Pack, coming off a massacre of UNLV, I couldn't stop smiling. I loved it.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun to beat down Vegas. Did you see the game, Tommy?
No.
Oh, boy.
No, great, Tommy. Was it on TV nationally?
Yeah, it was.
CBS Sports Network, which is – inevitably, the game before it goes long.
Triple overtime.
Three
nights in a row.
Yes.
They ruined the San Diego State Boise game the night before.
Davidson. It's okay when it happens on one of the ESPN family networks because they have other, go to ESPN News or whatever. But that one, it's crazy. But anyway, it was from a Wolfpack fan my whole life, watching what the Rebels did to us my whole childhood. It's amazing that they can go down to Thomas and Mack, triple digits, and just hammer UNLV. It's so unique to me still, even though it's happened a lot lately that they, since the turn of the century, that it's been a really close series. I think the Rebels have us by a couple games. It is amazing to me that Nevada is where they are and UNLV is where they are, and it's a lot of fun, and I enjoyed every second of it.
You know, what I love the most is just Jordan Caroline getting the ball and looking at the 7-footer and going, you can't stop me.
That his draft prospects, he was touted as a lottery pick.
Until he saw Jordan Caroline.
When you see a 6'7 dude just go at him.
At will.
And have no problem.
No, it was awesome. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And the first half of the first game when UNLV came up here and won, he was a little tentative, didn't know what to do. He's bringing him out, and Jordan Caroline I'm talking about, shooting those 20-footers that I hate that he shoots. And
didn't McCoy only have 4 points in that game?
Well, he had foul trouble. But in the second half, he got a little more assertive, taking it to him. And then the whole game, he's, 8 for 9 from the field and perfect from the line. Jordan Caroline had a great game. But it was the way that Cody Martin has stepped up in Lindsey Drew's absence is.
I'm not going to say it because I love my man Lindsey Drew.
Yeah.
And I hope that Lindsey gets.
It's more of a depth issue was what I was saying is. Kenny said, is there a chance that this team's going to be better without Lindsey? And I just said no. That's all I said back in the text was two letters.
No, I said no. I said, am I an idiot to think? And you wrote idiot.
Yeah, whichever.
So with that being said, and Lindsey Drew's a big part of this team, and I hope, I want him back next year. I don't know if he's going to be able to recover from, the injury. But with that being said, and ever since that Vegas loss, Pack's been on a mission. I mean, they're just
–
I know they kind of had a little bit of a lackluster performance against Colorado State and San Jose State, bad teams. But, man, when this team comes focused and, and I was talking to actually Nick Bogdanovich, and we were talking about the Vegas game specifically. Nick Bogdanovich is the head trader for the William Hill Racing Sportsbook. He makes all the lines. And he says, is the Pack going to come to play? Because if you guys remember, the night before, Boise lost. So the Pack had actually – not just they clinched a share of the conference tournament when we were at the game, John. They won the conference outright with the Boise loss.
They clinched the share, but they already had won the tiebreaker with.
Yeah, well, exactly, exactly. So, but they clinched outright with Boise State losing to San Diego State.
Yeah.
And and Nick's comment was we're talking about the Lions, and he just said, "Is the Pack going to come to play, or is the Pack are they kind of going to rest people?" And I said, I read an interview, or I was listening to an interview with Musselman, and he said. I learned to coach basketball one way, to win every game.
And
he goes, and we're coming for revenge. And then Josh Hall, I'm not saying a word. All I got to say is when it's over, look at the scoreboard. So I told Nick that, and I unloaded. I had aces. I shoved all my chips in the pot, and
over.
Cigar game.
Exactly, and they're fortunate in that situation that they didn't go to Wyoming or New Mexico or someplace where they'd have a little bit of a letdown. Coming off a loss against your rival, and, you know, everybody wants to play great in the bright lights of Las Vegas, and it was a fortunate spot for them to go. There's not going to be a letdown. I didn't think a letdown was possible. And, you know, now is there a letdown possible tomorrow at San Diego State?
Let's talk about that real quick. Nevada travels for the season finale on the road versus San Jose or San Diego State. Packed 26-5 right now on a six-game winning streak. On the other side of the coin, San Diego State's 18-10 on a five-game winning streak. And I don't believe they've lost since we annihilated them here. We beat them by 25 here on February 10th, I think it was. You know, but with that being said, you know, here we are traveling to San Diego State. You know, everything's wrapped up. Conference tournament on deck. Coming off the huge interstate rivalry revenge game with Vegas. Looks like Malik Pope's, you know, he's been reinstated from out indefinitely, one game suspension. He's back. San Diego State's been playing pretty well, guys. They're coming in as a 2-point favorite. It's a natural reverse in sports when that's what we call it. You know, you come here, you get crushed, you go home. It's 27-point swing in the points.
Yeah, Ken, and you know, San Diego State's been a frustrating team for me to get on the right side of, because they actually do have a ton of talent. You got Pope, the other guys. The main thing for them has been the return of Trey Kell from
injury.
Trey
Kell, it's been huge.
Because that's everything. When he sat out, they were getting blown away. There's a couple times I thought, oh, they were a good spot play. They got beat by Fresno State by about 25 points a couple weeks ago. I'm like, and you know, they're at full strength then. They've been mystifying but Kell comes back after missing a few games, sprained ankle. They finally looking like the team I thought they would early in the year. Yeah, four straight wins, big time.
Yeah.
The Boise State game the other night was reasonably close, but now, and you know, they're just fighting for everything. San Diego State's going to have to win the conference tournament to get in, but they're just fighting to get over 500 in league and possibly now get a first-round bye in the tournament. And, Ken, with what you mentioned, yeah, the way things line up for Nevada, that seems like the letdown spot if there's going to be one. You're right. They went through the motions against the subpar teams, clinched the conference title, and you knew they were going to come play the other night. But one thing, you mentioned Musselman's interview, and I saw the same one. I figured they wouldn't, you know, have a letdown at UNLV. But, again, with nothing at stake conference-wise, you never know. But one thing I thought was interesting when Musselman talked about the challenge, he goes, you know, UNLV, and it may sound like hyperbole to pump up, you know, your opponent, and he was talking about everything that they're capable of in the first game. It goes, yeah, I think they're one of the most talented teams in the country. And it's easy to just sort of dismiss that as, oh, you know, it's just trying to get his team fired up. I think he's exactly right. I think UNLV is a massive underachiever. Like, you know what I mean? Their real identity. The first game at Nevada, that's UNLV. Like, when they play well and inspired and together, that team's incredible. I've seen them play well probably two or three times this year and thought,
there's not a lot of better
front
lines.
That team should be, they should be 1-2 with Nevada and competing. The fact that they're, like, whatever it is, 19-11 now, a game under 500 in the Mountain West, that's a massive underachievement to the roster they've got.
I completely agree with that. And when you talk about this game tomorrow,
I don't think we gave the line right now. San Diego State's a 2-point favorite at home. So the Pack's a dog. I was actually going to look that up today. I'm not sure. This may be only the fourth time the Pack's been a dog all year.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
It's the two Texas schools.
On the road.
And on the road at Boise, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. That sounds right.
So this is the fourth one.
Yeah. So it's senior night for San Diego State. You know, a lot of good veterans that have been there forever. They're playing very well. This just feels like a little bit of a sandwich game to me. Coming off the emotional win, UNLV already clinched, conference tournament on deck. I think this is a good spot for San Diego State. It wouldn't surprise me. I know Mus is a graduate of USD.
Call San Diego home.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Southern California is a recruiting hotbed for Nevada. You're going to want to put your best foot forward. I just don't – do you want to see Caleb Martin play 38 minutes? You know what I mean? Rest up. Not saying don't play, but I don't know if you go full throttle right now. It's a rough spot. I'm not going to be betting the Wolfpack in this game.
Go Pack.
Yeah, exactly. They still can, but it's
– I'm with you, John. You know, initially all week I was thinking that and we talked about the Vegas game. You know, before the Vegas game, John, I said, I think I'm looking forward. I'm probably, no matter what happens in this Vegas game, I'm going to be looking to bet San Diego State in the season finale. Mm-hmm. But I look at it now and I just – you know, here we are, guys. Think about this. The Pac theoretically has, what, this game left? Let's say they make it to the final game of the Mountain West Conference tournament. That's three games. So we're at a total of four games. And then whatever run they make in the NCAA tournament. I don't think they back down. I'm to the point now. I really think that from here out we get 100% effort from the Nevada Wolf Pack. And for and I was really, John, before the UNLV, and Josh and Tommy, before the UNLV game, I was really ready to bet San Diego State in this game. But the effort and the energy that they put into that UNLV game, I think they're on a mission for the rest of the year.
And that makes sense. And you know what's funny? I know the other night we were talking about the game. I texted you that I was actually taking a piece of UNLV in the second half because why not? It's like a 30-point middle. You know, can't be beat. And they didn't cover that either. They realized that the flaw – well, I just put the flaw in my own logic was Nevada doesn't play anybody else. I'm like, just like this. Can't sound like, oh, you know, we're going to take this one easy and rest our starters. The same five guys play all the minutes. So, like, figuring that they're out there unless they do have a bit of a letdown. You know what I mean? You're going to have Nevada's best guys on the court at all time. Whether they're, you know, necessarily inspired or not, they're always going to have good players out there. Let's realize even when they just started blowing UNLV out of the gym, nobody sat. So that's one of those things. And I would have thought, again, Ken, to play against, you're right, it would seem to be an ideal spot. I'm just curious to see how it looks, too, because San Diego State has that matchup issue. Malik Pope, they have size.
Yeah.
The freshman kid Mitchell's coming along. I think Nevada has to play well just to translate it to a difficult matchup come conference tournament time.
If this weren't Brian Dutcher, if it was still Steve Fisher, I think it'd be a little scarier. You know, Brian Dutcher's a longtime assistant that's been with him forever.
And he's changing the pace and stuff. Yeah.
And it, you know, but it's just it's a scary matchup for me because it's still San Diego State with a lot of the same names that you've known for years. So it's not, I mean, Hemsley, Trey Kell, Malik Pope, it's just it's the same guys. So I just think it's a rough spot. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Pack went in there and thumped him. I mean, they outscored him by 27 points in the second half of that game.
Yeah, and Boise, by the way, should have had him the other night. I mean, that was, you know, I mean, San Diego State pulled it out, but Boise was right there with them. They had, you know, a lot of things go against them in terms of late calls and everything.
Kenny, I think you're right about one thing, the competitive nature of this team.
You're going to tell Caleb and Cody and Jordan and Hallis Cook, who hasn't played all year, say, hey, man.
Kendall Stevens.
Kendall, you're a star now. Don't play hard. Come
on. It's not about not playing hard. I was worried about the minutes that Caleb might get on that.
Who's going to get him? We don't have any.
Justin Brent. You didn't see that movie made to give him 100 points?
A couple of stats. You know, San Diego State's 5-0 their last five home games. The Pack's 0-4 their last four games in San Diego. The last six games head-to-head have went under. You know, so, you know, a lot of the trends are going to back San Diego in this spot. So we're going to head off to our commercial breaks. We have to go to traffic. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about bracketology and kind of, you know, in my theory about the big effort that the Pack's going to have to put forward tomorrow. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Ken.
All right, I guess we're back on. Are we back on?
It helps if you put those headphones over your ears.
I know. Well, I was looking at the William Hill Sports app, you know. Sorry, I'm Kenny B, your host, not paying attention. Actually, on my William Hill.
I guess I could have just come in on my own.
Well, I'm glad you didn't because we could have started cussing. But
that's true.
Anyways, I was looking. You know, I have my William Hill mobile sports app. I was looking at lines. Purdue's getting ready to play Rutgers. I was trying to see if there was a line move. So, anyways, very exciting stuff. We are going down to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. And, you know, going to the seating, guys, and looking at the bracketology, I know that John and Josh are very familiar with this right now. CBS has us projected as a number 7 seed going to the Midwest, and our first game is playing Florida State. You know, and then we'll get the winner of Michigan State, Montana. Yeah, that's very rough. You know, but that's as a 7. Now, if we can get to a 6 seed, things change a little bit. You know, we a 6 seed, you know, we catch Baylor, who we can play with Baylor, I think. And, and then we get the winner of Tennessee and Charleston. You know,
that's favorable right there. You don't want to get down to the 5 in the voodoo of the 5-12 matchup. I think they did that one time, and Montana kicked the hell out of them that physique-ish year. But I think the 6 seed, Josh, is ideal for something like that. A Baylor team who's obviously very talented, but I think the Pack would be a slight favorite and win that game.
Yeah, I agree with that because I've seen Baylor a lot this year, and they just turned it on. They had they are still kind of a bubble team because they weren't going anywhere until they had a middle of the season. They won about 6 in a row, kind of turned it on, and yet they've lost a couple cents. But at their best, they're okay. I mean, their point guard, LeCompte, really good, Manu LeCompte, but they just don't, you know, in past years they've had dominant front lines, real physical guys to match up with. They're small.
And they're just
I think, marginal in terms of that. I think for sure Nevada has a personnel edge. It's funny because we talk about this speculation, and it would seem, you know, you would think, well, what's the point? We'll find out who we're playing eventually. Maybe it's just something to kill the time out. But do you remember last year? It's kind of funny. In all these projections, pretty much from the start, Nevada was projected to face Iowa State in the first round, and that happened.
So these are probably
more accurate than you might imagine. So the Baylor thing's preferable to Florida State only because, I mean, Florida State, they've hit a wall too, because of course the ACC, you're going to find different ways that you get defended and whatnot. But nonetheless, they have more depth than probably anyone in the country. That would be an issue. They go 12 deep every game.
Who's that? Florida State?
Yeah.
And athletic, you know, ACC. When you're a mid-range ACC team, you're a pretty damn good team. But, you know, moving forward, just the way that the guards match up, there's not a lot of 6'7 point guards out there the way Cody Martin's playing right now. They're packs smaller in the front court, but I think they make up for it in the backcourt. It's an interesting set that they roll out there. As long as everybody's healthy, I expect them to make a run, win a game, maybe win two games. Maybe, you never know. With the parity in college basketball now, make a big run, Josh. Why not? You know, they have. If you watch the post game show after the UNLV game, Gary Parrish, who I respect, he said this team has stars. They have flat out have stars. And that's what it takes to win in March.
Yeah, I agree, John. To a certain degree that we've watched, of course, the Nevada Wolfpack all year. We've also watched pretty much all their opponents, and we've watched those teams when they play someone else, right? So we've watched Boise play Wyoming.
Yeah.
We're familiar with the Mountain West. And to me, there's no doubt Nevada's overall talent level is a cut above. When you realize they're two top players, or you say the Martin brothers were – contributors at NC State, those guys weren't scrubs. I mean, they played a lot of minutes for an ACC team.
Yeah.
You look at a guy, Jordan Caroline, probably shouldn't have been he's higher than mid-major talent to begin with, to where he started out. And you're right, a guy from, you know, used to play at Purdue. The overall collection of talent is definitely a cut above, you know, what you consider good Mountain West level. So the only thing I worry about is you could have an opponent with a bad matchup or whatnot. I would hope, you know, a Sweet 16 run would be phenomenal. The only thing that worries me, John, I've said it from the start, is so far, and maybe it's an unfair criticism, but I don't think Nevada's responded well to the big stage. They haven't. We've seen those isolated games. Like, really, Ken? Did you thought they played well against, you know, TCU? And
I did.
We lost 84-80.
We lost by four, and we should have won outright. We should have won outright at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech.
Who's going to win the Big 12? Well, who was in the top 10? I'd be in the top 10. You know, and I was at the game. I thought we played okay. I really do.
Yeah, well, and you're right. It was four at the end, but it was double figures most of the way. They fell behind early, and it looked like shots were clanging. They looked tight to me, so I thought there was big stage jitters there.
I agree with that. They looked tight in that game, and they made it respectable at the end. I think there was actually a bucket at the buzzer to make it 84-80, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't think the stage is going to be too big at this point for him, especially when you look at that, you know, arguably our best players, Caleb and Cody, were on that stage in the ACC. And to be able to bring that experience and apply it to this quote-unquote mid-major, I'm tired of the Mountain West. I want to see them match up against somebody.
What did you think about last year, John? I understand it was mostly a completely different cast, a mixed cast of players. But that's another thing where I would lend to my example. I thought you saw guys doing things they hadn't done all year, turning it over, clanking free throws. I thought, you know, they had some big stage nerves in the NCAA tournament too.
And I think it's going to happen for everybody. That would happen with people at Duke. You know,
I agree.
Duke losing to Lehigh, you know, it's stuff like that.
We're 26-5. You know, we've got 31 games under our belt. We've played seven. We've played how many teams in the top 70? It's some big number. And I think that, you know, we've played a lot together now. I think we're a different team now. I really do. And if we go on to a neutral, I don't think we're going to be in all. I think the Martin boys have figured it out. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
And I think that we're as good as any team in the nation on any given day. You know, look at the Boise game going on the road and the stage and how that went. Look at the UNLV game where we went on the road and how that stage went.
Yeah, that was huge, Ken. But I just mean, to me, when you look at the overall resume, and again, it's still impressive no matter what, but I still think, to me, that gnaws at you a little bit that you didn't get one of those big fish with Texas Tech or TCU.
Okay, let's say
winnable games.
realistically, we should have split those games. We should have won exactly. in Texas Tech exactly. and lost in L.A. So would we have been happy with that? I mean, you look at that. Yeah. We played well, guys. Yeah. We played, not only that, we yeah. didn't we play them back-to-back?
Or you could have gone and lost to Pacific.
Play
and no,
back-to-back.
You know.
Play, go to Lubbock and then go to Vegas. And right. in 3 days, play, you know, at that point, two teams were in the top 20. And one of them climbed all the way to the top six.
Able to handle Rhode Island, as we know.
There you go.
Handled Davidson fairly easily, and Davidson's a favorite against Rhode Island tonight.
They were
is that right?
a 1 point favorite. Yeah.
Wow. It's just.
So those are pretty much the top two teams in the A-10.
Yeah, with the Bonnies, and it's just I don't know. This year it has a little different feel. I don't think they're obviously not going to sneak up on anybody, but I don't think they have to. I think that they have that talent level. They're not deep. We know they're not deep. Kendall Stevens is vital to.
We've been worried about it all year. I mean,
You get 5 3-pointers out of Kendall Stevens, they're going to win 80% of the games.
Agreed. No, that NBA threes
against anybody.
Are you excited, Tommy?
Oh yeah.
Are you fired up?
Yeah.
We're on the same flight at 5 a.m. Thursday, going to Vegas. So, any listeners, if you're going to Vegas and you're on the same flight as we are, what time are we getting at the bar?
Well, I guess 4:30. I mean, you have to be there about an hour before, so that's hopefully the bar's open then.
It won't be.
It won't be. No. So
God, dog, it won't be.
Well, are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Will the convenience store be open there? Do they sell the little minis?
I don't think they sell those.
I mean, we'll just have to save it for the flight.
Soon as we get on the flight, baby.
So I love going to Vegas for these games.
What's the bar across the street from the airport? Maybe we meet there.
Oh, at the airport plaza. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if that'll be open. Because I take that late JetBlue flight, and I did a little research on that place's hours, and I was a little disappointed with how early they closed because it's the same thing.
Yeah, you need a 24-hour bar there.
Yeah, yeah. And they should be a 24-hour airport bar as well if they have all these flights going on.
I agree with that.
Well, maybe there'll be a bar downstairs before we go to security checkpoint. Because, I mean, you know, you're worried about the security checkpoint. At 5 a.m., there's no security checkpoint.
Let's just chug a beer in the parking lot before
there
we go.
Exactly.
Just
there we go.
Some beers.
You know what? I'll meet you at the Club Count Eva, where we have $2 Bud Lights 24/7. We'll meet you at the Skyway Bar, and we'll catch an Uber.
All right.
A beer and a shot. Oh, God. I'm fired up. So, all right, with that being said.
Settle down, kid.
I know, man. So, anyways, going back to all this, and then we go into the seating right now. You know, I was looking at the seating. How long? We got a few minutes for this. You know, I was looking at the seating. You said that the first game, you know, the Pack draws the number one seed. And they get to play the first game on Thursday, which is at noon. If things were to end right now in our side of the bracket, we'd get the winner of Air Force and Utah State.
Yeah, which is fine.
I think we win that game. I think we're okay right there. And then moving forward.
Here's the tough one.
Yeah, moving forward, if we win this game, we'd get the winner of New Mexico, San Diego State.
Oh, it's not Fresno anymore?
Well, not according to today. Okay. Fresno fell to the other side
Good.
Of the bracket.
Get them over there.
As the number three seed. That's but, you know, there's still one more weekend, so things could change. But, yeah. You know, you look at the other side of the bracket, guys. You have Boise State, UNLV at home, Colorado State, Fresno State, Wyoming, and San Jose State. I like the way our bracket lines up right now.
Having Fresno on the other side, because that was the first one I saw the other night, was the winner of the Fresno State-San Diego State game, which is – not an easy task on either side. New Mexico took them to the wire as well. That's not an easy task. But if they play their game, no one can beat them. They've proven that in this conference. So I wouldn't worry about much. As long as they play their game, they're going
to
win it.
Yeah, it does seem to be a pretty favorable draw. What I'm liking is you hear all these analysts in the draft, or you know, say the bracketologists or whatever, suggesting that Nevada's in no matter what. That's good to know, because I always thought it was on shaky ground with the Mountain West, and I didn't think got the respect they deserved the last couple of years. But I was just thinking, you know, along the same lines, if somehow, you know, if Nevada, worst case scenario, somehow lose their first or second game in the tournament that they're still in,
they
you know, that would probably cause a pretty dramatic drop on the seeding line. Suddenly you're like at 11 or like you're the last at large. But I'd be curious to see, you know, just how many teams, because I think there's some quality. You know, the eye test and resume alone, I think Nevada and Boise State are both NCAA tournament quality.
I agree.
It'd be crazy if someone came out of left field, though, if Fresno State wins it, you know, what else happens?
If
Fresno State wins it, does Boise, you know what I mean? How many is the
well,
is it two? Is it
Boise
two max?
Well,
it's two max, you think?
Well, they can't take Boise over us because we beat them twice.
I think if,
right, but I mean, it, do,
no,
do they get in as a third?
We're assuming
fiddle.
The pack's in.
With that assumption.
I think if Boise goes, if they lose in the title game to Nevada, I think Boise goes. I keep seeing them as the last four in, last four out in that, yeah. in that. But if they go win a couple more games, win their last regular season game, make it to the conference final, play well against Nevada, and lose a close one, I think they're in.
But Tommy, are you going to go if the Pac makes it to the when the Pac makes it to the NCAA tournament? Are you going to go?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's nearby, yeah.
Who cares? Well, it's a plane flight.
Well.
What do you have to do? You're a boxing promoter.
I guess I can work from anywhere. That's true.
Exactly. So, you know, and there's still a couple things that have to shake out, guys. You know, there's probably, you know, I think if something happens, you know, we might, you know, Boise, that's what I was looking at right here. Let's look at the standings real quick. Where'd they go? Here they are. So right now, you know, looks like Boise State's – Who's Boise play tomorrow? No, they have an easy game. So Fresno State, I'm looking at this. So maybe San Diego State, New Mexico could flip. New Mexico, San Diego State. No, that's already there. So maybe only Wyoming and Vegas. And I think that's – no, really, it looks like everything's pretty much etched in stone unless
– Wyoming's another
– What did Boise do against Fresno this year?
Against Fresno, I don't know.
Do you remember, Josh?
No, yeah, I think they only played once. I think Boise State beat them at home in Boise.
Okay, so then there would
Wyoming's another team that can win this.
Yeah. But
it's a very athletic team.
And they're going to be on the other side of the bracket as things – and that's, like I said, the bracket is playing out very nicely for us right now. So with that being said, you know, I'm very excited about this. So, all right, let's head off to our last commercial break. We come back, we'll talk a little bit about all the games going on and get somebody's selections for tonight. This is the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back. I'm Kenny B., your host. You can follow us on Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. You can follow Josh Nagel at JoshNagel1 on Twitter and on Sportsline. And Tommy Lane's here. He's up at the bar getting a beer. You can follow him at Let's Get It On Promotions and his Facebook page. You know, the great Let's Get It On Facebook page. You know, the son of the great Mills Lane. The great Mills Lane. Seriously, when I say this, probably the greatest man I've ever met.
Cool dude.
With that being said, you know, we've been talking a whole lot about Wolfpack. Josh, basketball games, you know, here we are, you know, in the conference tournaments. What's sticking out to you right now? Do you got anything that you really like tomorrow?
Well, Ken, I was looking at these tournament futures. Unfortunately, they don't have them. Yeah, I was wondering if we had some in advance on the Mountain West, but they don't set it until the bracket's actually out, because I'm bummed.
I've talked to Nick about that, right. And I said, are you going to put that out? He said, yes, obviously. And I said, are you going to put a price out on whether the Wolfpack will win the Mountain West Conference Tournament?
Just a two-way,
yes or no.
Nice.
And he says, do you want it? I said, yes. He goes, it'll be there. So nice. there's going to be – and I was dead set to maybe – bet against the Pac to win the Mountain West Conference Tournament. But I'm telling you guys, if what I saw at Vegas last week, if Nick comes
– they're definitely comfortable in that building.
If Nick – Jordan Caroline says –
especially Jordan.
He says – yeah, he was the MVP of the Mountain West Conference Tournament.
Yeah.
And he just destroys UNLV. So, anyways, go ahead, Josh.
No, so you got some others, Ken, that are out, though, where you have the brackets between, you know, the West Coast Conference is about to start. I mean, you know, not like huge long shots, although you do see those in some of the, you know, minor conferences. But – you know, Gonzaga and St. Mary split the season series. They won on each other's court. Both are really good teams. Potential talk about, you know, Sweet 16. Gonzaga was in the national championship game last year. St. Mary's has had certain runs. We'll say St. Mary's is 8-5, you know, on a neutral court with a bunch of teams have already, you know, proven they can beat. I think that's pretty good value. They tailed off. For some reason, St. Mary's was red hot early. It seemed like they were covering every game. They tailed off late, struggled, lost at San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yes, that was difficult, lost at San Francisco. Certainly. But this is still an outstanding team. And, yeah, I guess San Francisco, giant killer.
Chuck Landale
in
won
that
the
regard.
Conference Player of the Year.
Yeah, so, you know, but you just check out some of these other ones. And, you know, the SEC, I guess that'll be set after tomorrow. Big Ten, of course, we talked about.
What's Kentucky to win that?
Was already in play. Like I said, it's off. They haven't. They don't have anything on there. But in the Big Ten with the teams that are still alive, look at this. Penn State was 20-1. They've already won two games, and they're in the semifinals now. So, yeah. You know, you see teams like that where they had to get in. You mentioned Penn State and Nebraska. It seemed to be the two Big Ten bubble teams. I just thought it was kind of ridiculous in that Nebraska's been great all year. It's a team that went 13-5 in the Big Ten. 13-5 in one of the top conferences, and they're talking about, you know, leaving them out. So even though they got blown out by Michigan today, I think they should still be in. And there was speculation that Penn State needed to, you know, advance along in this tournament to be in. I think if you've beaten Ohio State three times, that should get you in.
I got an assist.
No, yeah, they're in.
I think so. I just mean, so both of those, it just strikes me as odd. With these teams I've seen so many times call both Penn State and Nebraska bubble teams, and like, and I'm not in favor of that. You know, usually the sort of borderline major conference team, I'm like, I'll leave them out. Both of those are tournament quality teams.
Especially Penn State, but I think Nebraska as well.
Yeah, I just hate that they lost
number
by 20 today, and people
number
might
one
say,
cover
oh,
team in college basketball.
Yeah, all
Nebraska,
year.
Yeah,
they never caught up to what Nebraska was doing, and they have, you know, they have a lot of quality wins as well.
I'm going to bring Tommy into this conversation. Tommy, how's Hofstra? I know that you're a replant in New York, and he's all fired up about because they have odds on Hofstra winning the tournament.
Yeah,
out
the CAA, my alma mater. I actually think they're going to do well. I love college basketball. I just haven't been able to watch it much this year. But
4-1.
I love
they're
it.
They're 4-1.
Yeah, they're good.
They're 4-1.
That's live.
Charleston is 6-5. Northeastern is 11-5. And Hofstra at 4-1. Wow. Before you leave, Tommy, 9-2-2-3. 9-2-2-3. Hofstra to win the title. Josh, that's exciting.
Especially when, yeah, you got a chance to, you know, back your school and get a little action.
What if it's Hofstra versus Nevada in the finals?
I go with Nevada. Yeah. I mean, they've been relevant in college basketball. They, you know, you can get behind them, you can follow them, you can count on them going to the tournament. So I've always loved Nevada basketball. For sure.
Anyways. So just Hofstra, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Absolutely.
What else, guys? What else you got, Josh? Lob up some more volleys here.
Well, we were talking about, you know, the boxing that's coming up, and I'm wondering, you know, that Golovkin, you know, Alvarez fight is so far off, and of course that'll get people's attention. But Tommy, what do you think about? There's some fights tomorrow all across the globe, basically. But it strikes me that what we're seeing is one guy you know and a bunch that you don't. You see what I mean? In these matchups, it's like, oh, Kell Brook, oh, he's back in there.
Yeah.
I've never heard of his opponent back fighting in the UK. Yeah, I didn't know Sergey Kovalev was getting back in there. Never heard of his opponent either.
Yeah.
It's like, are we going to start seeing? You know, we saw, what's his name? You know, last week I was thinking Brandon Rios, Danny Garcia, the welterweights. You know, we see that pick up where guys going to really start, you know, wanting to, you know, to fight each other for the championship. I just mean, what's it going to take to make more popular super fights here?
You know, a lot of it still has to do with the politics of boxing. Unfortunately, you have these factions, you have, you know, the top rank Orbit and their fighters, and they don't really, and those guys are associated with ESPN, and they have contracts with ESPN, and certain fighters have contracts with HBO, and certain fighters have contracts with Showtime. So really the television contracts is what mainly gets in the way of guys coming together, say Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence, which is the best fight you can make right now. And, you know, those fights do need to happen and to really bring boxing to what it should be. But just the politics of, and it's not even politics, it has to do with television contracts and which promoter they're with and certain promoters working together. But the welterweight division, you're right, is the hottest division in boxing right now. Keith Thurman, who hasn't fought in a long
ages.
Time.
Thurman Spence is, right, I mean, Thurman against Spence would be the welterweight one. You mentioned, you know, the Crawford, but I just mean just for welterweight unification, that would be a fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, they both have a belt. And then Terrence Crawford is moving up. He's going to fight Jeff Horn for the WBO belt April 14th at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. It was supposed to be on ESPN pay-per-view with Horn versus Terrence Crawford and Pacquiao versus Alvarado.
On the undercard, right? Yeah.
But Pacquiao, what the rumor is, Pacquiao was very insulted that he would be on the undercard, so he is no longer on that. So I don't know if that's going to be ESPN pay-per-view. So we'll see, but yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of good fights that can be made. But you're right. I mean,
let's hope they make them.
Yeah,
that's the one thing UFC has is that they seem to put the fights together that people want to see, and it doesn't always happen in boxing, and it drives me insane.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if Bob Arum had both Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, that fight would be made. You know, and he has Jeff Horn.
There's an Al Haymon factor with the welterweights.
It's you have Al Haymon, you have Top Rank, and then you have three or four. You know, you have Golden Boy main events, K2, and those are with HBO.
You have Paul Heyman.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
you like Arum?
Yeah, we're. I mean, we're
kind of working in conjunction with him a little bit.
We're
right
in
now.
The Top Rank Orbit. You know, that's who. we're friends with a lot of guys over there, and we just get along well with them. Plus, I think that they're the best just promoter, from putting together the live show and just all around. And, you know, and in terms of also getting out there and promoting the events, I mean, you know, this fight in Brooklyn, you have two fights going up against each other in New York on the same night. One is at Madison Square Garden, and that's the main events, Sergey Kovalev and, you know, Dmitry Bivol. And then you have the other show at Barclays Center, which is Wilder Ortiz. And Wilder Ortiz on Showtime is with Al Haymon. And, you know, this is a problem with boxing, and it has been a problem with boxing. I don't see it getting magically better anytime soon, because, you know, the same thing. You know, we want Wilder to fight Anthony Joshua, and that's kind of a similar thing. Anthony Joshua is probably going to be – he's with Eddie Hearn, who works a lot with HBO, so you'll probably be seeing his fights on HBO. Showtime and HBO do come together to make the really big fights happen, but that's few and far between, and those have to be real big fights, like Mayweather-Pacquiao level stuff. So, you know, it's an obstacle for sure, but sooner or later the fans pressure it, and it tends to happen, but more often than not it's later than you would have liked to.
You know, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You know, you and your brother have been coming down, you know, periodically, you know.
I'm glad Tommy's here, not Terry, to tell you.
Why is that?
He's just a little cooler.
Is he the cool brother?
He's the cool in brothers.
Do you ever tell Terry that JD always calls you the cool brother?
No.
But you're aware.
Yes, I'm aware.
It's not a shock.
We've also,
Terry's great too.
We've also had Mills on the show. We've had Jesse Brinkley on the show, and you know, appreciate everything you're doing to try to bring boxing back to the North. You know, Reno used to be just such a hotbed for boxing, and I know you guys are striving to bring that back, you know, to get some world championship caliber bouts here, you know. And, you know, make sure that, you know, support the Loken Boxing, support Let's Get It On Boxing. Big show coming up. You can get all the details at
Let's Get It On Boxing. When we have details to announce, we'll put them there. Let'sGetItOnBoxing.com or Let's Get It On Boxing Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram page. And yeah, you're right. What we're trying to do is build up the local stars, and put on shows, smaller shows, developmental shows, to keep those guys busy and build up the scene. And then maybe we can get one, two, or three bigger fights on TV. But we have to have the local scene to attract those fights as well.
Thanks, Tommy Lane. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Make sure you follow Josh Nagel, too, on Josh at Sportsline and on Josh Nagel 1. Josh, I got about 15 seconds. One bet for tomorrow. Anything that pops off the top of your head? Nothing really. No. You can
shake your head. You're on the radio.
You do have articles. You do have articles with some write-ups.
I do.
All right, John. Do you have anything you like?
I kind of like San Diego State.
Oh, out of the side of his mouth. Kind of like San Diego State. So should be a big game for the Pat. And make sure you download the Wimhill mobile app at www.wimhill.us. Do all your betting at Wimhill Racing Sportsbook. The best product in the world. The best lines. The best bookie in Nick Bogdanovich. We'll see you in 2 weeks on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.